Welcome to the Cognitive Psychology Podcast. I, Alif Khan, will be your lovely host for today. We will be learning about two concepts today. Our first concept for today is divided attention. Now, first off, we will talk about what has been already covered in this course. A good explanation for divided attention is, if attention is a flexible system for allocating resources and if tasks differ in the amount of attention they require, then people should be able to learn to perform two tasks at once. In translation, for all humans listening to this podcast, attention is a resource that can be divided up to use in different tasks that require different amounts of attention. For example, if watching TV takes 20% of your attention, you still have 80% of attention left to use. So you can listen to music and that could take 40% of your attention. You can do both things at the same time since you aren't using 100% of your attention resources for one task. Research shows that we are limited in the number of things we can do at the same time. Most of the time, we are switching our attention back and forth between tasks we try to do at the same time. The more demanding the tasks become, the harder it is to do those tasks at once, because we cannot exceed 100% of our attention resources. We can't use more than 100% of our resources. Therefore, there are limits to how many tasks or how demanding the tasks can be. Now, why is this concept relevant? It's relevant because our generation tends to multitask a lot due to the availability of electronics, especially smartphones. The problem with this is we don't actually know which tasks are okay to do together and which tasks are not meant to be done together. In some situations, not knowing our limitations could be very dangerous, such as playing a highly demanding video game while driving a car might put people's lives at risk if we aren't careful. We can also lower our productivity if we listen to music, talk on the phone, and do homework at the same time. A lot of people I know do this all the time. The knowledge that our attention is a limited resource could make people think twice before multitasking. Now, how could I use this information in my life? Learning divided attention made me realize that attention is a limited resource, and we should be careful when we divide it up by multitasking. I won't do two demanding tasks at the same time. For example, I will never play video games while driving because both of these tasks are too demanding to do at once. I will be more careful about which tasks I choose to do at the same time. Two things not covered in this course, but I wanted to learn, is we should have looked at experiments where people do three things at the same time, three very low demanding tasks or four very low demanding tasks. We should have looked at how we can stretch attention resources by doing multiple tasks that are more than two. What is our limits? What kinds of tasks can we do best when done at once? And are there some tasks done better if done together, such as listening to music while doing math? These are the questions that I wanted to learn about in our class, but we weren't taught these. Welcome to the second segment of our podcast, the Cognitive Psychology Podcast. In this segment, we will learn about the McGurk effect. What have we already learned about it in class? In class, we learned that we don't always easily separate the sounds from the sights. An illusion known as the McGurk effect shows us that it isn't always the case. In class, we were shown of two videos of a man. In one video, the man seemed to say ba and in the other he seemed to say fa. Then we learned that the sound in both of the videos were actually ba. How could this be? In the video that we heard fa, he just looked like he was saying fa when the audio was actually ba. The illusion occurs when what you're seeing clashes with what you are hearing. The senses let the visuals win in this case. So what we are seeing can influence what we are hearing. I found it particularly interesting because this illusion is able to completely fool our senses. Even knowing about the illusion does not change the fact that our senses will still be fooled by the illusion. We are still susceptible to the illusion even if we know that it is happening. It demonstrates that what we are hearing might not be accurate. It demonstrates that the brain picks the more salient info and uses that. In our example, visual cues were more salient than the auditory cues. Hence, the lip sync of the word fa fooled us into thinking that the person was saying fa. How would we use this concretely in our lives? I can use this information to double check on what I am hearing. Advertisers could be using this effect to deceive me in some way. In a commercial or a movie, they could make me think I'm hearing something else by using weak audio and salient visual cues. This effect taught me to not always trust my senses. What I'm seeing could impact what I'm hearing and distort my hearing abilities. Two other things that I wanted to learn about this effect was to see other examples of this effect. In our course, we only learned about one example of this effect. We weren't shown multiple examples. Another thing I wanted to know was, why does this effect happen? Was this evolutionarily advantageous for our animal ancestors to prefer visual cues over auditory cues? That will be the end of the Cognitive Psychology Podcast. I hope you had a great time listening.